It's so good to be here tonight. And first of all, let me say thank you for your sacrifice and burden for missions and for us, and we're very grateful. And what better time than tonight, a cold, wintry night in Wisconsin, to take a trip down to Mexico.
Amen.
And we'll take a trip down to Mexico. Now, this presentation that you're going to see, my son Mike put it together. And I used to say that Mike and his family worked with us. And now I say that Kathy and I work with Mike. He's taking over more and more of the leadership. And but when we started this church that Mike pastors, your pastor was there. And what a hard worker your pastor was. What a great blessing to us. We've had several missionaries work with us over the years, and nobody worked harder than your pastor. Nobody was a greater encouragement to me than your pastor. And so we're thankful for him and his friendship over the years. We first met him in New Mexico when he pastored in Portales many years ago. Let me give you just some update. This presentation's a little bit dated. In Sunday school, we're averaging 300 over this past year. In our Bible Institute, we have a full-time Bible Institute. We have 33 full-time students and 12 part-time students. We have an orphanage and a boarding school. We have, I believe, 25. Last semester, we had 28 in the homes, but I believe it's 25 right now. In our Christian school, we have 56 children. What we're real excited about is right now we have four couples that are starting churches that are out of our church and our Bible Institute. And so we'll take a trip. You know, the only thing better than taking a trip down to Mexico right now would be to eat some Mexican food.
Yes.
But we'll at least take a trip down to Mexico.
In 2003, the Dorr family stood on a vacant piece of property in the Mayo River Valley near the city of Navojoa, Sonora, Mexico. Although they did not know it at the time, this barren land would become the place of God's richest blessings in their lives. In the years to come, God would create on this land a place where children at risk could find a refuge, the lost could find a savior, and God's servants could train for the ministry. In November of 2005, a God led to start Providence Baptist Church with the desire to reach the surrounding Indian villages with the gospel and to provide a training ground for the Institute students. Hola! Our church now reaches into 19 villages and 29 of Navajo's colonias.
God has been so good. When we started Providence Baptist Church, our desire was to fulfill the Great Commission in this part of Mexico, but also we wanted to provide a training ground for God's servants, a place where they could come and not only learn academically in the Bible Institute, but also receive experience through a local church. We're so excited to see those that have gone out to serve God in ministry, and we're excited about the students that we have and their vision for the future. Thank you so much for your burden. We covet your prayers.
A ministry that is very special to us has been the children's homes.
this way.
We receive children that are at risk due to homes that have been destroyed by Satan. It is a great blessing to see the change that comes into these children's lives after they come into a safe and godly environment.
These are the children in our Christian school. They're a blessing to our heart. The majority of these kids are in our homes. Niños, que quieren decirles?
Thank you!
Providence Baptist Institute is really a result of the Door's early church planting ministry. In 1986, the Door family arrived in the Mayo River Valley, and over the next 8 years were blessed to establish three churches. These churches have established three other churches, all of which are continuing on faithful to this day. These churches have produced a second generation of young people who desire to serve the Lord. In the fall of 2002, Providence Baptist Institute was founded. Going forward by faith, God provided to purchase and develop land. Wells were hand dug, land was cleared with machetes, and buildings were begun. Today, our students come from five different states, and it is a great joy to us that the majority of them have been saved and called here in our local church. We are so excited to have a part in these young people's future. But not only that, we are amazed by what they are doing right now. Each week, they work on bus routes, teach Sunday school classes, go soul winning, participate in village evangelism, help plant new churches, labor on the grounds, and complete a full class load. In 2010, Brother Mike and Jillian Dorr began to take the Institute students to the mountain town of Alamos to hold open-air services. Alamos Baptist Church was started soon after, and within a few years, God blessed with a nice building and a faithful pastor. Within a one-hour drive of Providencia, there are over 600 villages and towns that don't have a Bible-preaching church. Our desire is that God would raise up churches in these places as He has done in Alamos. God has done more for us than we ever could have expected. But I believe that the best is yet to come for our ministry and this region of Mexico. I believe that the greatest investment that we can make in church planting in our area is to train young men and young ladies that can go out and multiply our efforts. Even while they've been in the Bible Institute, they've started a number of mission works. We've been so excited about those pastors that have gone out to pastor other churches or start churches. Please pray for us and this next generation that God would continue to use us to win souls and plant churches in Mexico's Farm Belt. Thank you.
That in verse 37 of chapter 27, that on the ship were 216 souls, 276 men. And this is a rough group of men. So you have the sailors of the ship, and that's a rough group. And then you have the prisoners, and that's a rough group. And then you have the Roman soldiers that are guarding the prisoners. And they're on the ship, but there's one other person that's not a sailor, and that's not a soldier, and that's not a prisoner, and that's Dr. Luke. And what an amazing thing that God worked it out, that God made it happen, that Paul has Luke with him. And as we go along, we'll see that it's Luke that's writing this. And as Luke is writing, we can see into Luke and Paul's mind, and we can see their attitude. And I believe that Paul has come to a place that his ministry was so full of trials. But he, in the midst of the trials, and listen, trials are just a part of life. I'm 65 and I'm beginning to reconcile myself to the fact that trouble is just a part of life. And you think, well, when I get to this stage in my life, or when I accomplish this or take care of this, then I'll be past the trials. No, it's just maybe different kinds of trials will come. And as the Bible says, man is born unto trouble. But I think as we read some of these verses, that we're going to see some things that Paul and Luke could see. And if we can see these things with our spiritual eyes, I think that in the midst of the trials, we can be encouraged. And so Paul could see, first of all, God's bountiful blessings. And when we're going through a trial, we say, but God is good. But God is real good. And we don't just see blessings, but we can see God's bountiful blessings. So let's look at a few of these. In verse 44, chapter 27 and verse 44, we see God's great power. Now, these men, these sailors, were convinced that they were going to die. And they lost hope, so much so that they quit eating. Okay? But look what it says in verse 44. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass. And there's a word in here that really doesn't need to be in here. It says that, and it came to pass that they escaped safe to land. But Luke adds another word for emphasis. He says that they escaped all to land. Wow. Praise God. Every single one of them. Because of Paul and Luke, every single person on that ship escaped safe to land. Chapter 28 and verse 1. And when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. If you were to look that up today, I believe it's called Malta today. But wow, they all escaped safe to land. And so we see God's great power. And all through Paul's ministry and in our lives, if we have walked with God, we see God's power in our life. Secondly, we see God's loving kindness. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trials, we see God's loving kindness. Look at verse 2. And I love this verse. It reminds me of our people. Brother Weiss, I think you'll agree with me as we look at this. It says, in the barbarous people. What does that mean? Backwards, primitive, pagan. In the barbarous people. Look what it says. Showed us no little kindness. God used these poor, uneducated, pagan people to help Paul. And God showed his kindness through these people. I remember this was years ago when Christy and Alicia, our oldest daughters, were little girls. And we were living in Huatabampo. And we would go out to Huichaca in the morning, and we'd have services there in a little Indian village. And then we'd go from Huichaca, and a lot of times, a lot of the people from Huichaca would want to go with us over to Sao Kobe. And we'd take a load over to Sao Kobe, and we'd get there. And then we would go out to the village of Chinotaweka and have a service. We'd take the men, leave the ladies to visit. We'd go over to the village of Chinotaweka. And we'd come back and have a service in Sao Kobe. And we'd be gone all day long. We'd go, leave about 9:30 in the morning and get back after dark. And we'd, especially in the summertime, we would just come back wasted, so exhausted. The heat is so intense down where we are. And I remember this particular Sunday morning that we were out of money and we were out of food. And we left the house without breakfast. And I thought, Lord, I'm your servant. And I'm making so many sacrifices. And we ought to at least have breakfast for our little girls. You know, I was really feeling bad for myself. And when we would, for a time, when we would go over to Wichita, we would pick up a teenage girl who was the teacher, the kindergarten teacher, over in Sao Kobe. And so we swung by and we picked up this girl, and she came out to the van, and she had a paper bag. And she got into the van, and she says, "Are you hungry?" And she had brought in the paper bag sweet bread and a carton of milk. And like for my girls, that was like the best breakfast ever, you know? And all day long, God fed us, and he fed us good. And so in verse 2, it says, "And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness." Look what it says. Now, they're still in the storm. I think it's probably the latter part of the storm. It says, "For they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold." Now, down where we are, we have a rainy season in the summertime. Our summers are so hot, and the rain comes and cools things off, and it's wonderful. In the summertime, when it rains, everybody goes out into the rain. On our campus, I'll have a cup of coffee and stand at the window, and all the orphanage kids will be out in the rain. The Institute kids will be walking around. My grandkids will be out playing in the puddles and in the rain. But in the wintertime, in December, it'll get cold. It'll get, like today, my son told me that it rained on and off all day. It'll get down into the 60s. Last week it was in the 80s. It's forecast, Brother Weiss was telling me that next week it's forecast to be in the 80s, but it dropped 20 degrees, and it's cold. And I guarantee you, they weren't out in the rain today. And in the wintertime, when it rains, they go inside. And so the Bible says they received us, everyone, because of the present rain and because of the cold. Now, think about this. These people, they're probably living in little, small, primitive huts, houses, but that's their shelter. And the storm comes, and it's cold, and it's windy, and it's rainy, and they're inside. And they've got a fire in the fireplace. But here, this group of men, prisoners, sailors, and Roman soldiers are shipwrecked on their island, and they go out of their houses, they build a bonfire to help these guys. And God used these barbarous people, the Bible says, to express his love to Paul. And you know, in the midst of the trials, God does things to show us his kindness, that he's still with us, and that he loves us, and that he's going to take care of us. Now look what it says in verse 3. This is interesting. We see God's protection. "And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks," so Paul is also gathering firewood. Now you know that he is exhausted. This trip has been going on for so long. And he's been a prisoner, and then the storm, and he's helping gather firewood. But physically and emotionally, I think he's just wasted. And you know, Paul, why was Luke with him? Because his health was bad. And so he's been through so many trials. Look at this. "And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live.'" In other words, the people knew he's a dead man. Now think about this. After all that Paul has been through, and the storm, the shipwreck, and they jumped into the ocean and the waves and the storm and made it to the land, and finally they're standing in front of this bonfire, and a poisonous snake latches onto Paul's hand. Now I don't know about Paul, but I would have been thinking, "Lord, really?" a poisonous snake. And Paul didn't know he was going to live. But he does. Has it ever felt that way to you, that the trials are just never going to end? They just come one right after another. But Paul doesn't die. Now this is amusing to me. The people are trying to help Paul and the sailors and the soldiers. And then they're kind to him. And these are superstitious people. A lot of the people we work with are Indians, and they're very superstitious. And so one minute they're kind and helpful to Paul, and the next minute they're glaring at him like, this man deserves to die, you know? And then look what it says, verse 5, and he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said, he's a god. Wow, he's on an emotional roller coaster. And then we see God's abundant provision. In verse 7, we're going to look at this in just a little bit, but there's a man on the island that takes at least Paul and Luke. We don't know. Let's go ahead and read it. Verse 7, in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us. So Luke is writing, and Luke says he received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. Wow, what a blessing. Now, I don't know who the us is, if that's just Paul and Luke, or if that maybe includes the sea captain. It surely couldn't have included all the prisoners and all the soldiers and all the sailors. So we don't really know who it is, but we know it includes Paul and Luke. And God is just taking care of them. Look in verse 10. Now we're going to see in verse 11 that they're on the island for 3 months. And verse 10 is talking about the people. They're just poor, common people. And it's talking about those people. It says, who also honored us with many honors, and when we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. In other words, God gave them everything that they needed. And so we see God's wonderful provision. And then we see God's plan. Now, think about this. Paul is on his way to Rome. If back in the beginning of Paul's ministry, we read in Romans chapter 1, and Paul said, oft times I wanted to come to you. And he said, talking to the people at Rome, he'd never been to Rome. But from the very beginning of his ministry, Paul's desire was to go to Rome. But it wasn't God's timing. And God had three different missionary journeys for Paul. And then it was God's timing. Okay, are you with me? The problem is that Jews all over the Roman Empire wanted to kill Paul. And so if Paul had left Jerusalem and gone to Rome, he probably would not have made it. And God is so good. Are you with me? Oftentimes, what we see as a trial, maybe you're going through a trial tonight. If you're not, there's a trial coming. And oftentimes, what we see as a trial, later on, we're going to look back and say, wow, that was a blessing in disguise. And God knew what he was doing. And so God said, okay, Paul, I love you. You're my servant. Your desire has always been to go to Rome. I'm going to let you go to Rome. And not only, but it's dangerous. And so not only am I going to let you go to Rome, but I'm going to give you an all-expense-paid cruise to Rome. And I'm going to give you bodyguards to get you there safely. And the government's going to pay for it. You're not going to pay a dime. And when you get there, Caesar's going to let you have your own rented house, and you're going to have access to Caesar's household, and you're going to be able to win some of his family to the Lord. Whoa. And I'm sure that on this journey, Paul doesn't understand all of that. And it's just one trial after another. But now Paul is looking back, and Paul is saying, whoa, God is so good. And so Paul could see God's bountiful blessings. Now, the next 2 points, I'm going to go pretty quickly, okay? So stay with me. Paul could see the awesome opportunities. And I'd like to go back into Scripture and show you that maybe Paul in his earlier days could not see the awesome opportunities when they were coming, but now he'd come to a point where he could see them. But look what it says. In verse 7, this reminds me so much of Mexico. Publius is rich. He's wealthy. He's the main man on the island. And then you have all the other people. That's how it is in Mexico. It's like two extremes. The very rich, the few that are very rich, and the multitude that are very poor. And this guy, the Bible says, received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. So I think he takes Paul to what would be like the missions department. And Paul had not slept in a bed for like forever. Paul had not eaten a full meal probably in weeks or months. And this guy, Paul is just exhausted. And he takes Paul and Luke and he says, hey, listen, I want you to stay here. There's fresh sheets on the bed. The pastor took me over to the missions apartment and checked everything. There's towels in the bathroom. Everything's ready. In 3 days. And I think I would have just vegged out. I would have shut the door, just come out to eat. But right away, Paul learns, and we're not going to look at the verses for the sake of time, that Publius's father is sick. And Paul goes to visit him. And the Bible says that he heals him, but I guarantee you, he witnesses to him. And then what happens? Word gets out, and the Bible says that everybody's bringing sick people from all over the island to Paul. And so Paul doesn't see these people as an interruption. You know, oftentimes we see God puts opportunities in our life and we see them as interruptions. And Paul sees these people as opportunities. And the Bible doesn't spell it out, but I think when we get to heaven and we talk to Paul, we're going to find out that he did not spend much time in his room. And he was busy with all these people. So Paul could see the bountiful blessings. Paul could see the awesome opportunities that God presented. In verse 9, it says, so when this was done, after he'd helped Publius's father, others came which had diseases. I think it was the coronavirus, which had diseases in the island. They came and they were healed. And so he saw these interruptions as opportunities. And then third, I think that Paul could see the future fruit. I think that Paul, see, we don't read that he's winning a lot of souls. We don't read that he's starting churches. But I think Paul had come to the place where he realized, hey, if I'll just be faithful to do what God wants me to do, God will do great things. And I think when we get to heaven, we're going to meet people from the Miletus Baptist Church. Maybe the church was started after Paul left. And we're going to meet up there some prisoners that got saved because of their contact with Paul, and sailors, those old rough sailors, and Roman soldiers. Listen, God knows what he's doing. God has a plan. And our part is just to be faithful. My Father's way may twist and turn. My heart might throb and ache. But in my soul, I'm glad I know he maketh no mistake. God knows what he's doing. Now, in verses 11 through 14, we're not going to read these verses, but I'm just going to kind of paraphrase, okay? And so it says, and don't try to read with me because you'll get lost. But it says, and after 3 months, we departed. And landing at Syracuse, we tarried 3 days. And there we fetched a compass. And after 1 day, the south wind blew, and so we went to Rome. In other words, we took off. God gave us a ship. Everybody gave us everything that we needed. We sailed to Syracuse, and we found a compass, and the wind came up, and we went to Rome. And God took them to Rome. And God knew exactly what he was doing. All of these trials came along, but there was a purpose for the trials. Yeah. And listen, we're not living our life, I'm trying to think in Spanish, by accident, por casualidad. God knows what he's doing, and our job is just be faithful to God. And as we go through these trials, we need to see God's bountiful blessings, the awesome opportunities that he's continually presenting every single day, take advantage of those, and the future fruit. There's going to come a great harvest if we'll just be faithful to God. Amen. Pastor, I'll turn it back over to you.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Dora. I appreciate that. And I would just say amen to those words and good things for us to remember. And I think just like Brother Dora mentioned to us that we need to be mindful of is that God is good all the time. Really is. He does provide for us, give us the things that we need during those trials. We're going to take just a moment. We're just going to have a silent time of invitation. We won't have a piano player, but we'll give just a few minutes. You can pray right where you are. You can come to the altar if you want. Maybe you need to just thank God for his provision, whatever it is. Maybe confess the sin of complaining or doubting or whatever, but we'll have a short time of invitation. I'll give you an opportunity to do business with God after that message. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, we do certainly thank you for your provision for us. And Lord, forgive us for our many times of looking at the problems that we have and Lord, complaining and accusing you of not being good. Lord, that's our own sin and our own doubt that causes us to think that. We thank you, Lord, that you do provide for us even kindnesses in the middle of our troubles. And we thank you, Lord, that you use our troubles and the trials that come for our good and your glory. Help us, Lord, by faith to see that even today, for tomorrow, for the other days that we'll see trials. And Lord, help us to trust you for the fruit. Help us to be faithful to do what you've given us to do and trust you for the fruit that will come. Thank you for Brother Dorr and his ministry. Bless his wife. Bless his children, bless Mike and his wife, Jillian as well. Dear Lord, just use them in a great way. Bless that church and the institute, the orphanage and the school. Lord, bless all of the different ministries of that church. We thank you, Lord, that you will. In Jesus' name, amen.